Every Tuesday morning, several of us go to the All-Star Restaurant to have breakfast and a short Bible study. And at that restaurant, when you go to pay your bill at the register, there's a cup full of pens that have decorations taped on them, you know, so that you won't walk off with them. And a couple of weeks ago, we were there, and I noticed that they had the decorations were butterflies and bunnies and Easter eggs. And I said to the server, "Easter already?" She said, "Well, as soon as St. Patrick's Day is over, we take off the shamrocks and we put on the butterflies and the bunnies." I thought to myself, hallelujah, Christ has risen 2 weeks early this year. But Easter is a festive time. At least they got that part right. Easter is a time when we proclaim the resurrection of Jesus. That's what it's about. Christ, alleluia. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. That's what we shout on Easter Day. We remember what we read in the lesson from Acts, where Peter is speaking to the Gentiles and he says, God raised Jesus from the dead, and he appeared to some of us who are witnesses, and he has commanded us to preach the good news, to be witnesses. So to be a Christian is to shout the resurrection. The trouble is, in our gospel lesson that's appointed for today, there is no proclamation and there is no shout. In the Gospel according to Mark for Easter Day, we hear the story of the empty tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, come very early in the morning with spices to anoint the body of Jesus. And as they're walking to the tomb, they're wondering who's going to roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb. When they get there, they find the stone has already been rolled back. And when they go in, they find not the body of Jesus, but a young man dressed in white sitting on the right side of the tomb. We might as well call him an angel. And the angel says to them, "You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Now go and tell the disciples that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him." And the women fled from the tomb, it says, in terror and amazement, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. No shout, no proclamation, they said nothing to anyone. Well, why not? Why didn't they say anything? I mean, this is the greatest news that they could possibly have. This is the most amazing miracle that could have happened. The one thing that they could have been hoping for, and what do? They say nothing to anyone. This is the original ending to the Gospel of Mark, and Mark just leaves it there. He doesn't try to patch it up and say that somebody else made some great proclamation or some shout. It's just the women fled from the tomb in terror and amazement and said nothing to anyone. How can that be? How could you leave a story like that? Well, for one thing, I think the women must have told someone. I mean, after all, we have this story that's in the gospel. But what I think happened was they went back to the rest of the disciples. And they were in shock, and they were still frightened. And when they got back to the disciples, there, in the safety of their circle of friends, they could begin to utter what they had seen and what they had heard. But they told it in a whisper and not in a shout. Later, it was proclaimed from the rooftops. But first it had to be said in a whisper. They spoke, I think, with a catch in their throat. I mean, after all, when you think about it, the angel didn't come with trumpets and lightning and thunder, at least not in the Gospel of Mark. The angel came in the quietness and the privacy of the tomb, and he spoke in a whisper. He's been raised. He's not here. Now, the implications are enormous, that God gives life to the dead, that God loves us beyond all measure, that God offers us forgiveness. But first, the seed has to be planted there in the darkness and the quietness of the tomb. If you think about it, you realize how effective the message of the angel was. I mean, every good speaker knows that if you really want people to listen to you, you lower your voice. Jesus has been raised. And isn't it true that the quiet movements of a symphony are just as important as the loud movements? Maybe even more important, because you can catch the theme better in the quiet movement. You know, in our culture, we think that louder is better. If you've got some news, put it out there on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I mean, there is no such thing as bad publicity. But I'm not so sure about that. I think sometimes that when a message is too loud, it cripples the message, and we can't hear it as well. You know, when the street corner evangelist shouts at me, I shrink back. That's not the way the angel came. Why do we think that everything has to be so public? A friend of my son posted a video on Facebook of his proposal to his girlfriend. You can see they're with their friends in a park or something, and you can see him pull his girlfriend a little ways off from the rest of them, so you can't hear what they're saying. And it's right in the middle of the camera, so it's obviously been staged. And he kneels down in front of her, and he takes out a box from his pocket and opens it, obviously giving her a ring. And she puts her hands to her face, and then she throws her arms around him, and obviously the answer was yes. End of video. So romantic, so public, so staged. But don't you think he should have given her a chance to say, well, maybe, or can I think about it? Not right now. I think it's the same thing with our faith. The decision to believe is made in the privacy of the heart. Maybe there was a time when the great evangelists won over crowds of thousands and 10,000s and got mass conversions. But I think that maybe in our time, we need to hear the gospel whispered and not shouted. These days, we are not so likely to trust those who are shouting, but we need to hear it from the heart. Jesus is raised. I read a story in the New York Times by a woman who said that when she was a kid, her parents forced her and her brothers and sisters to go to the Presbyterian church and listen to all these stories, which she said were just impossible to believe, stories of miracles and impossible things. And she said when she was a little girl, one morning they heard the story of the talking donkey. You know that story? It's in Numbers 22. The prophet Balaam is on his donkey, and he's trying to go to prophesy, and he's hitting his donkey to make him go, and the donkey says, "Why are you hitting me?" And she says, that was the last straw. She couldn't believe in any of that anymore, and she said, "I'm not going to church. That's it." And her mother finally had to give up, and she didn't have to go to church anymore after that. Well, years and years later, she was nearly 60, she writes this article, and she said, a few years ago, on Sunday morning, I got into my car, and the car drove me to the parking lot of a church. And I sat in the car and I said, please, Lord, don't do this to me. And she went in and sat down. And what she heard was not stories of impossible things, but she heard a witness to the social gospel about how to help hurting people, about how to address the issues of our day. And she said, all right, Lord, I can buy this. And so she has returned to church. I think there was still a whisper in her heart from something she had heard when she was a child. It wasn't the shouting that got her, it was the whisper of that witness when she was a little girl. Today at the second service, we are going to baptize a little boy and dedicate a little boy. They are probably too young to remember this later on, but I hope that their parents will whisper to them the good news of Jesus, and I hope that as a congregation, we also will whisper in their ear the good news of Jesus, so that when the time comes and they are old enough, they will be able to choose Christ as their Savior for themselves. We don't have to shout. All it takes is a whisper. Amen.